Beloved, Christ is in our midst. This gospel today of Zacchaeus picks up from last Sunday's gospel. For our Lord is way down below Jerusalem in Jericho, and he is traveling to Jerusalem for the last time, where he will make his entrance into the city, give his body and blood to his disciples, be betrayed, crucified, die, and be buried, and then rise on the third day. He's coming to the culmination of his mission on this earth, to offer himself up so that we are saved through his death. And as he's making this journey, he comes through to Jericho, and we hear of Zacchaeus. And the evangelist points out two things right at the beginning. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And we're to hear those and understand that these two things are bad. They're bad for Zacchaeus. They're bad for the people around him. It's why the people murmur when Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house. Because tax collectors weren't collecting taxes for the kingdom of Israel. They were collecting taxes for the occupying Roman army. So in a way, they were traitors to their people. And they would get the job of tax collector by bidding how much they could get the Roman government from their people. And who got the highest bid won. Zacchaeus, obviously, was the chief tax collector. So he collected as much as he could, even more than what he was going to give to the government, the Roman government. He collected for himself also. And so the second, he was rich. 13 chapters earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to the rich, because your comfort is now on this earth." So we understand Zacchaeus is doubly in trouble because, first of all, he's a tax collector who fleeces his own people. And secondly, because he is rich. And not only rich, but how did he get rich? By fleecing his own people. But even in all this, Zacchaeus knows what people think of him. He knows they don't like him. They don't want to be around him. But he hears Jesus is coming. And though he's short, not only in stature, a little man, but he's short in good deeds, in virtues. Yet hearing that Jesus is coming, he makes a fool of himself by acting like a child. For no adult man climbs a tree to see someone coming into town. It's something the children do. Something the children did when our Lord entered Jerusalem in triumph. But Zacchaeus doesn't care. He scampers up that tree, the evangelist says, in order to see Jesus. But what do we discover? It doesn't say that Zacchaeus saw Jesus. He went there in order to see Jesus. It says Jesus saw him first. Jesus saw Zacchaeus, and he called him. "Zacchaeus, come, for this night I will stay at your house." And now the people murmur. This chief sinner, doesn't Jesus know who he's going to stay with? And Zacchaeus hears the murmuring, and he immediately says, "I give half of everything I have to the poor. And anyone I have defrauded through charging more than what they owed in taxes, I will give back fourfold." So at the end of the day, his bank account was a lot lighter. But he was no longer the little man in virtue. For in beholding the face of Christ, he was changed. His life was changed. Jesus didn't say to Zacchaeus, as he said 13 chapters earlier, "Woe to you, rich man." He didn't wag his finger and say, "You naughty boy, what a life you've been living." He says, "I'm going to stay in your house. Come down." And the end of this gospel passage, Jesus provides the answer. Because Zacchaeus is a son of Abraham. And he said, "I have come to save the lost." Not simply to save, but to seek the lost. Remember, it's Jesus who sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is thinking he's going to see Jesus, and it's Jesus who sees him, who calls him down. He seeks out this lost one. He seeks him out and restores him. By looking at his face, by being in his presence, Zacchaeus' life is changed. And beloved, we are to understand ourselves in Zacchaeus' place. Whenever we pray the communion prayer, "Lord, who came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first." That means I can look at everybody else's face and see a saint, but I look at myself and know myself to be the sinner. Know that I'm lost and need to be saved. And not only know that Jesus is seeking me out. He's seeking me out as that lost sheep, the one of the 100 that's run away in sin. And he comes looking for me. Or the 10 gold coins the woman had and loses one coin and turns her house utterly upside down to find that one coin. She wasn't content to say, "Well, I still have the 9. That other one will turn up." No, she seeks it out. That's Christ seeking us out, always seeking each one of us individually, seeking us out to bring us to him as he did to Zacchaeus. Because, beloved, he sees us. He knows our life, every little bit of it. Do we see him? Do we look to see him? Do we look to see him in each other? Do we look to see him in ourselves? Because that is where he dwells, always. Regardless of what sin we may commit, he dwells in us because we are made in his image. Though we cover it up, there he is, within. He sees us. Do we see him? It reminds me of the story of a Roman Catholic saint who would spend hours in the church, not even doing services, just hours standing before the altar. And someone asked him, "Father, what do you do there?" He says, "He sees me and I see him. God sees me and I see him." That is to be our life. Knowing that he sees us as we are, sinners that we are, knowing that we're the dust of the earth who have turned away from him time and again, and yet to us, to him, each of us is the most valuable thing on the face of the earth. Each one of us is the lost sheep worth saving. Each of us is the lost coin worth turning everything upside down to find. Each one of us is Zacchaeus, short in good deeds, but seeking him out, and discover that all the while he has been seeing us, seeking us, drawing us to himself. Let us allow ourselves to be sought by him and to look to see him, not only in each other, but look to see him in ourselves.